Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to the Bitcoin Veterans Space, episode 103. I am your host, Coleman, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in this morning. For those of you who already heard, some breaking news, Ross Ulbricht is free. He was given a full pardon by President Trump late last night, and according to his X account, he is actually out of prison. So hats off to Donald Trump for keeping his promise, and a big round of applause for everybody who helped push to get him out. So it's pretty cool. We're going to spend some time talking about this today, but I was happy to finally see that take place. But really quick, I just want to give a quick thank you to some of the people out there that are listening. I have Jeff out there, Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle, Steve, Pedro, Trey. I have Daniel, Death and Bitcoin, Penny. Good morning, good morning. AC just joined. AC, I'll send you an invite if you want to come join the panel. And of course, Bob Van Kirk up here. Good morning, sir. How was your evening?
Good morning, Coleman. Great news last night, obviously, with Ross being released. I think it's interesting to see a lot of the different factions of people. And some people are impatient, some people are excited. It's an interesting time for sure.
It's very interesting. I have to admit, I was part of the people that were the high time preference group. I thought he was going to kind of do it pretty quick. But again, depending on how you look at it, day one, day two, it was his first full day in office. He got it done. So I was happy to see that take place. I do expect we'll see some more things that are relevant to our industry. We still have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. So I would expect that Bitcoin or Bitcoin related topics are going to come up. I would guess if I was going to bet the order of it, I think you're going to see something about the SOB 121 getting repealed before Friday. I have a strong feeling about that. I've been watching the news this morning, and they have the Davos conference going on. And a lot of the bankers that are coming on there are really just kind of putting it out there pretty openly that once they get the approval to start holding and trading Bitcoin, that they're going to come like hard to the fence or hard to the net. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. Bob, AC, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the big things that really tips it off, I mean, aside from Ross being free, you know, some people could look at that as just a huge win for advocates of the libertarian movement in the U.S. because, you know, they kind of courted Trump during the campaign and said, hey, if you want to speak here, you know, we're going to need some things from you. And, one of those things is the free Ross. And so, some people could look at that on the surface and say, well, he came through with one of his promises, which is great. But you also now hear that the Tornado Cash, mixing protocol has, had its sanctions overturned by a U.S. court. And so, if you know anything about this, you know, part of the thing with Ross was that he created a website and people were doing commerce on that, mostly with Bitcoin. And so, you know, a lot of the folks advocating for his release were making the argument, and this argument was made in court too, that he simply got thrown in jail for two lifetime sentences plus 40 years for making a website. And the Tornado Cash folks are, you know, focused on privacy for transactions. And I would say Samurai Wallet as well. And so it's interesting to see that some of these things are starting to kind of have an about face after Ross being released. So I'm hopeful that this is, you know, something that is – it signifies many good things for our privacy as Americans and, you know, those around the world as well.
You are absolutely right. And I think we're just kind of starting to see that the ripple effects of this presidency, this administration are going to have. And I do think it'll be positive, a net positive for Bitcoin and for freedom tech. I do truly believe that. And I threw up in the nest. They do have a donation page for Ross. It's freeross.org. Just go on there, you'll see a donation link. They accept everything. So I know that we are Bitcoin only on this space, but on the website, they accept everything from fiat to all types of altcoins. It doesn't really matter. I know that if anyone wants to donate, we'll most likely be donating in Bitcoin. But I threw it up there just so that we can go ahead and help Roz back on his feet. Like Bob said, go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, the next big fight, it seems, is, the Samurai wallet case. What I will say is, yes, support Ross. You know, we don't know his entire situation financially, but obviously he's brought, in the early days, a lot of good things towards Bitcoin. One of the things that I, kind of wanted to say, about, you know, the previous comments is that we, you know, we could look back on this time as the glory days, these next 4 years. And so we're seeing the shift, right? Hopefully, we're seeing the beginnings of the shift, and hopefully, you know, we do, take back some of these, privacy inroads that we've lost over the last several years. But I hope that we're taking full advantage of these times, because, you know, it could definitely shift back the other way again at some point in the future. And so it's really important for people to understand how important these times are, that we can't just sit back and hope that everything is going to be okay or go, you know, far enough to preserve our freedoms. We actually have to hold our leaders accountable. And so I think that is not just the president, but you got to look on down the line. Like, we have to pressure our Congress people, to pass good laws that put things in place so that our privacy protections are maintained. And it would be very difficult then for subsequent administrations to overturn some of that. So I just want to tell people, you know, be vigilant. This looks good, but we have to do our part. And so I'd encourage everybody to go out there and make sure your local elected people know, how you feel about this stuff. And if you don't know about it, we'll do some research. Please reach out to us, because we'd love to point you to some information to show you how privacy has been, slowly stolen from us.
In the name of freedom, right? That's the caveat to that. They're stealing it from us to make us safer, which is really sad. That's why Bitcoin. Peer to peer. Good morning.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say absolutely. Yeah. Let's say hi to some other folks on the stage.
Yeah. So good morning, Yomar. Good morning, AC. Shane, I sent you an invitation as well, if you're available. I know you're probably busy building your studio still. Maybe you have a chance. I'd love to talk to you. But how was your evening, gentlemen? Eomar,
never muted. I never understand why, like, X now defaults to a mic that's not hooked up, and I always have to switch it, and I never remember before I come off mute. So that's going to happen forever now. It's X's fault. It's not my fault. my day was pretty good. My night was pretty good. I was listening to the video podcast yesterday as I was working out. I remembered to shut my sauna door when I turned it on, so it actually heated up, so I could do that. That was nice. I don't know if you guys saw my exasperation in the chats the other night. My basement is pretty cold, and then the light at the end of the tunnel is the sauna after working out down there. And when it wasn't there, it just ruined my mood. So no such problems yesterday. I triple checked before I walked away after turning it on. So and yeah, the video podcast yesterday was pretty good too. So if you guys haven't checked it out, definitely recommend, you know, doing that.
the link for the video pod up in the nest. So if you didn't get a chance to see it, definitely after the show today, you can click it, watch the whole thing live or not on recording, or just go to Spotify or Fountain and you can go ahead and listen to it while you're still doing your stuff for the day. Man, we got just a crazy amount of snow, that fell yesterday in the southern part of the United States, breaking all sorts of records. I know I went down all the way to Florida. I think some parts of Florida got 6 inches of snow, so just completely unheard of. Just crazy. I felt like a little kid yesterday. Again, we're in Houston, we never get snow here, and we got about 2 to 3 inches dumped on us in the night and the early morning. And it was an absolute blast to go out there and play. So I kind of missed that. I grew up in Canada, so I had snow like 9 months out of the year. So when it snows down here, it's kind of nice, but I don't think I really miss all the work that is involved when snow falls though up north. So anybody living in the northern states where you get it, man, I feel for you. Shoveling it, having to defrost your car, throw on like 3 different layers just to go outside. It becomes pretty tedious after a while.
It was negative 11 this morning here, so.
Yeah, I don't miss that. I miss seeing the snowfall. I'm definitely a Texan, I guess, because that cold weather just cuts right through me now.
I love the winter as long as it's snowing. If it doesn't snow, then the cold is just useless to me. But if it's snowing, then I can ski, I can snowboard, and I'm happy. Yeah, if it's just cold, then I get frustrated. If it's flip flops back and forth, sometimes it'll be like freezing, and then it'll go up to like 50 and melt everything. That's also frustrating.
Shane, did you guys get any snow where you're at?
Nope. Kids are still highly disappointed. We've got, I think I woke up this morning and it was zero up here in the Appalachians, man. And, looking out, it's just cold. Chickens are miserable outside. Nobody wants to be out there. There's no snow. It's just cold as shit. I mean, it was too cold to get, in the hot tub even yesterday morning. I was just like, man, this is ridiculous. The Gulf Coast has now gotten in 6 to 8, 12 inches more, maybe a foot and a half in some places, more than North Georgia. Wild times, man. Just reporting that the kids around here are highly, highly disappointed. They are canceling school all over the place, but that's just because I think the administration out there is lazy as hell.
Yeah.
Are you saying government bureaucrats are lazy as hell? Who would have thought?
I don't think they can help it. I think it's almost genetic.
I believe that's the top line of the job application.
You can definitely be overqualified for those jobs and to prevent you getting one. They don't want any go-getters. Hire from the middle of the pack. But hopefully that all changed with the Department of DOGE, right? Department of Government Efficiency. Even though Bibick looks like he stepped down, the rumor is that he stepped down because he's going to run for governor, but I guess he can't announce that yet until it's official. I'm not really sure.
I saw some stuff on DOGE. I don't know if it's just FUD or if it's legit. I haven't really looked into it, but like I saw some people like saying that the executive order on DOGE was really just focused more on, like updating like IT stuff and, wasn't really focused on, government like cutting expenditures and stuff. I don't know if you guys looked into it a little bit more than I have. Like I literally just like saw a screenshot and some comments, so I didn't dig far into it. And sorry if you guys are hearing my security system yelling at us about my garage door.
No, you're good with that. I did see probably the same stuff that you saw online. I don't know. I do think it's going to be more of just a, I think it's just going to be more headline talk or headline speak. I don't think they really had a chance, really had a hope in hell of achieving what they wanted to do. And that was, it was cutting $2 trillion, right, out of the government spending. It was just a ridiculous number, and there was no way that they could achieve that. And so maybe Vivek saw that and was just like, look, I don't want to be attached to this, this thing that's never going to accomplish anything, so I'll just leave. Again, I'm going to give Elon Musk, I think he's done really good, but I'm becoming more hesitant with his role in everything. And I think it was part of that same report you saw where it stated that it was more just kind of like a data grab. He was going to get a lot of information and possibly utilize it.
Yeah, Coleman, I'll just say like, I agree. I think, I mean, if you look at this, it's kind of wild that, you know, you lose Vivek, for all this supposed cost cutting. And then, you know, just a little while later, you get Trump pushing through this AI, this private AI investment for $500 billion. So where's that going to come from? So I think it's interesting to see, you know, hey, we're running on cutting the government, but now, you know, on the other side, we're going to go basically spend all that back on other things that Elon Musk likes. And, now with Vivek out of the way, I do think he's running for governor, but now with him out of the way, it paves the path for folks like Elon to kind of get what they want and, spend money on the other hand, on the other side.
I think Trump made a lot of promises that I think he can fulfill. One of the things where they said they wanted to cut government spending, I don't think that had a chance in hell. And I think this is just, like you said, Bob, further proof. Day one, day two, however you're counting these days, they're already, you know, they're spending $500 billion, $500 billion on this. But I don't know how much of that is fronted by the actual individual companies. But again, it's just going to be.
I think this is, you know, some people could look at it and say, well, this is at least transparent that the U.S. government is making AI a priority. Really the way this looks to me is it's like a public-private partnership. So the government is going to spur on these companies to provide us with AI. And so, you know, again, if you want to be kind of balanced about it, you could say, you know, this is a good thing because China's way ahead. But again, I think a lot of people voted for Trump to, slash the government. And so, you know, that includes money, that could be printed. And now, you know, they're spending again. So I just wonder, you know, how this is going to land for a lot of people once they understand.
I mean, I'm not a fan. I mean, honestly, like the AI companies here are doing fine. They have huge amounts of investments. There's a lot of hype around them. I think that the right approach to this would have been energy. You know, these AI companies are hugely energy dependent. So you could have take, you know, $500 billion and invested in, energy production of, you know, various sorts, primarily I would say nuclear. But you know, that would benefit everybody. That would benefit the AI companies. That would benefit, you know, the individuals that would benefit, Bitcoin. That would be the route that I would have taken. But you know, those special interests aren't, you know, paying millions of dollars to attend his inauguration. So, you know, like him or hate him, like everybody's corrupt in DC. And, you know, I don't think Trump's any exception to that. You know, like, is he better than Biden? Yeah, I think so. But it doesn't mean that he's a saint, you know, it's not a, all or nothing. I think people have to come to terms with that and realize that, you know, this is, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a kickback to people that supported him, you know? And again, I don't think, you know, maybe in the long term, you and I will benefit from AI stuff. But that Ellison guy said some really weird stuff that, I'm not that big of a fan of, you know, like, that everybody will be monitored and well behaved or something like that. I saw somebody quoting. So, you know, I'd much rather just have cheaper energy, you know, so that I can heat my basement with, Bitcoin miners and not break the bank for it, you know? And that could also, you know, like I said, that would benefit the AI companies too with their data centers. So that's what should have been done, but you know, that's not what we're going to get. We're not always going to get. The government will not spend our money as well as we would spend our money, and that's always going to be true.
There is a side of this. I think we were talking about it a little bit on the show, maybe earlier this week and then last night. I think a lot of this is synergistic, and when it comes to, you know, defense initiatives, you know, with Fred Thiel from, you know, Marathon sitting next to Hegseth, who's possibly and potentially going to be the next defense, secretary. When we look at this, I think this, you know, the AI, the power and Bitcoin all go hand in hand. And this isn't one of those things that, you know, I think they're ignoring. I just don't think that they have everybody in the room that needs to be in the room. And maybe they do, and we just don't know about it. But in terms of, you know, the adoption of power and in terms of, you know, Bitcoin and AI and power generation to make sure that the U.S. doesn't get left behind and is still one of the predominant, states in the world. I think this has to happen. If it doesn't happen, you know, you're probably going to want to start looking to places that are doing this well, and putting it into, you know, fruition, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's great if we're not spending money on wars and clandestine operations and, you know, all the nonsense that we spend money on, getting away from a broken social security system, Medicare, Medicaid. I know that's third rail stuff, but at the end of the day, if they're going to be spending mountains of money, which they have to keep the economy from crashing anyway, right? Like you cannot spend less money slower. You have to spend more money faster all the time. So if they're going to do it at least in terms of, you know, let's get out in front of this. Let's start building the data centers. Let's start building, you know, the AI that's going to help clock these things and bring grids up to 100% all the time. At the same time, making sure that, you know, people have cheap power. And then obviously capturing Bitcoin, you know, if you're the government and this is your perspective, I don't give a shit, you know, really one way or another, if there's an SBR or not. I think it's good for countries who do it, but Bitcoin obviously doesn't care, at the end of the day. But if they're going to spend the money, I would much rather have them, you know, spending copious amounts of money and unwinding the spring that is the failing US dollar and economy so that it doesn't all shit the bed at one time. Because if that happens, I mean, that's like unloading a giant spring that's coiled, and that destroys not only economy, but that destroys nations. And with that, obviously, people and lives.
You're absolutely correct, Shane. And I do think Bitcoin fixes this problem. I do think Bitcoin does fix the bringing cheap energy, even into the individual households. You see, I forget the name, but there was a at-home miner that you could bring in and you could heat your home while you're mining Bitcoin. And we're about to hit a phase in Bitcoin where the price is going to go absolutely crazy. I think anybody that's a true Bitcoin maxi will tell you that the price is completely undervalued right now, sitting at just over 100K. This thing should be already into the several hundred thousand dollars. And once that price starts to get there and you have these miners at your home mining Bitcoin, heating your house, it's going to become more efficient for you to do this. And it'll just make energy costs cheaper all around just with that offset with the subsidy you get for mining. So I think that'll happen. I do think it'll happen this cycle. I think it'll happen, at the end of the 4 years. But I do think you see it becoming more prevalent in homes. And it's not just going to be the hardcore maxis who have all these at-home heaters or mining heaters. I think you start getting the everyday Joe coming in and purchasing it just for the benefits and the cheaper energy. Not to mention the energy providers just going ahead and doing it for the households. Like you see new builds, you're just going to have them built in just because it's cheaper.
I don't mean to shift topics, but did you guys see how they tried to sell the AI stuff with the vaccine that they can do for that's individualized vaccine to cure cancer? Did you guys catch that at all? I thought that was pretty funny.
We did, but do you mind going into it for everybody who didn't catch that, Bob?
Yeah, so they had, prominent figures. I think Sam Altman was up there. And then I think it was Larry Ellison was the one who was giving the information here, but basically saying that, with AI, you know, some of the benefits are, they've found that your blood carries indicators if you have cancer. And so just from taking a simple blood test, they'd be able to essentially detect that you have some cancerous cells and then create a vaccine within a couple of days using AI That would be personalized to you and your genetics and DNA. And then, it would effectively provide you with, either a cure or just sort of, you know, block the cancer from growing. And so, these are the things that I think we're going to have to battle a little bit, as, you know, they do control the news and the narrative. And, I think, you know, maybe it'll be a good thing, but, we've seen in the past, I mean, I think there's a lot of distrust for vaccines, even if it was personalized.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's not all boogeyman stuff, right? Like, you know, AI, there's a lot of like misconceptions about AI too. I think, you know, it's not Skynet, you know, at least not yet, right? It's just math and statistics, right? So like they use AI now for like some, you know, like breast cancer detection and stuff. You can use it, because it can spot like anomalies and stuff easier. Just cause like the compute power of it, you know, so like what he's talking about is probably something like, you know, just detecting like the anomalies when they like sequence or like run blood tests, you know, I don't know how many data points are in there, but I assume just sifting through that and like picking out the things that are weird and then, you know, something like CRISPR to cut it out. That I assume that's like kind of what they're talking about. But you know, it's, you know, at the front end of things. So like, the reason I bring this up is like, I don't want people to think like AI bad and always against AI, you know, like it's not necessarily bad. It's just how you use it. And like the important thing to remember is that, you know, AI is not like I hear Joe Rogan talking about this all the time. Like AI is some impartial overseer or something. You know, it's trained by humans. What data I put in and what data I leave out or I choose to leave out, impacts how that model comes to its decisions. And that's true for any machine learning, any data science or any AI model. I can train it to behave how I want it to behave. You know, if you are doing something like this general AI that they're working towards, you know, you would think, oh, like let's just, you know, give it all the data and let it train off of that. But you know, if you trained it just on what's on the internet, you know, if there's more data points on like, you know, Fortran that are just pushing out like random, like nonsense or something, you know, that will, you know, sway the decision making of the model. So you'd have to, you know, then weigh something like, oh, okay, well, I trust the New York Times more than that. And then you get swayed another direction, you know? So like, it's pretty complex and, you know, it's just important to remember like all of that, all the stuff that goes into making that sausage.
All I know is there are a lot of horror movies based on this idea out there in terms of treating cancer with AI and everything else. Yeah, this is kind of stunning, you know, the tone deafness of this administration on, you know, warp speed and doing what they did during, you know, the COVID lockdowns and everything else. I hope people haven't forgotten. Like this was a Trump initiative. He gave Fauci a place in his government, gave him a podium, you know, on a daily basis, if not more so. And, you know, to bring in, you know, this Ellison guy is talking about, you know, mRNA when we've seen literally millions of people around the world killed with the same technology. And then totally omit the idea of, you know, treating it with drugs that are, you know, commonplace, you know, that's something that I have a real hard time with. You know, there's people talking about ivermectin, fenbendazole, nicotine, things that, you know, will literally, you know, that are reporting, you know, and especially coming out of other countries saying, hey, this stops stage 4 cancer a lot of times in its tracks. And there is documentation from, you know, way back in history where people were talking about, you know, how, cancer is a side effect of pathogens in your body and parasites, you know, being parasitical. So, you know, for these guys to go, oh, you know, and give all these, you know, ridiculous ideas of treating cancer with something new and AI, I don't know, man. It's the nastiness of what is politics and who's, you know, embedded and invested and who's, you know, paying for access and everything else out there. And I think that's one of the things that I am most excited about Bitcoin fixing is when the incentive structure gets, you know, put in the right hands. I should say when people adopt the code that cannot be manipulated, I think this begins to work itself out, because we can't just print money out of thin air to chase down, you know, ridiculous technology and apply it to the latest, you know, health thing. It's just, it's beyond maddening to me that this is where they're at and that these people still have access after 2020.
Yeah. And what I think is really important too, is that like the stuff, the people that he's talking about treating, like they don't have cancer yet. You know what I mean? Like, cause this technology is still years away. So like instead of talking about like, oh, like when you get cancer later, we can fix it. The conversation should really be on like, how do we keep people from getting cancer? And then, you know, that goes back into what are you eating? What are you doing? What are you not doing? Are you exercising? Are you eating healthy? Are you, you know, like what other things are you exposing yourself to that are, not good for you? You know, like seed oils and all this junk that you get in like the middle of grocery stores. That should be like the conversation right now. And that was like the whole, Make America Healthy Again, thing with, RFK. That's where we should be now, not talking about, you know, probably decade away mRNA informed by an AI model. It should be before we get there, let's stop, doing these things that are just bad for you and killing you.
Yeah. Preventative measures starting from zero instead of trying to look and just keep everything the same, but just take this pill or do this treatment to fix it. Again, it's weird. It's weird that we've just eliminated that basic, you know, understanding of health and how to fix ourselves. And we've just been so inclined or accustomed to just trusting doctors who have an incentive to prescribe whatever treatment that they're trying to do instead of just fixing the underlying cause. And again, I think, you know, going back to the AI thing, like you can make an argument that they are trying to use this for the best, and that having an individual vaccine for every person in a utopian world and society would be perfect. And I think you might have an argument with that, that yeah, everybody's body is different. Everybody's treatment plan could be different. But at the end of the day, people can be corrupted and there's always an incentive, and you might be thinking you're doing the right thing, but you're going to be hurting a lot of people in that process, whether you mean to or not. And it's so important that people understand this. And that's why Bitcoin is going to be the only thing that survives, because it's decentralized. It doesn't matter what your intentions are or the next person, you can't control it. And, I do think more people are going to come to that realization as the years go on. Really quick though, I want to give a quick thank you to our partners, Black Sheep Ammo. Restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Punch Plate. Stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate, punchplate.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining. Use the code BTCVETS for 5% off your order. Pay with Bitcoin, get an additional 10% off. SoloSatoshi.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And Bitcoin Alaska, July 5th and 6th. It's going to an amazing conference. Check them out at bitcoinalaska.org. Get your lodging and your tickets fast. This will sell. Does anybody want to continue on this conversation? You want to take it in a new direction?
Okay. Sorry, I had trouble coming off mute. One other interesting thing maybe is just the code name for this AI investment. Did anybody see that as Stargate? Yomar, what do you think about that?
I think it's going to fall short of opening up new worlds for us. So, but maybe we'll get some help from aliens. Who knows?
Good news is they're spending $500 billion on it.
If you don't Bitcoin, now's a good time. It looks like there's going to be a lot of money spent during this administration. I want to go into Fred Thiel and his post he made yesterday. So in case you I'll throw it up in the nest. But Fred Thiel made a post saying, Mara is now focusing on bringing the strategic Bitcoin reserve to all 50 states and the federal government. This post came after Jason Broder, the senior VP of government affairs and social responsibility, posted, our team at Mara Holding continues to support Bitcoin focused advocacy organizations that lead on key priorities across the United States. A strategic Bitcoin reserve is a top priority at both the state and federal level as we engage with the Trump administration. And Senator Lummis stated that she met with Eric Trump yesterday to discuss the strategic Bitcoin reserve. So I think Fred's point, we need to sit down and kind of discuss what he's talking about and the implications of this. Simply because I think a lot of us thought that there was going to be a supply crunch last year when the ETFs came on board. We thought that that price would be a little bit more parabolic. I think we are maybe just a couple months away from seeing that come to fruition. With the amount of large corporations adding Bitcoin, it seems daily now to their balance sheet. The amount of Bitcoin that the ETFs are bringing in, BlackRock bought 6,000 Bitcoin yesterday. We have 11 states right now that have a strategic Bitcoin reserve somewhere in their state legislation. And if it starts getting passed, they're going to start buying, you know, tens of millions of dollars. At some point in the very future, we're going to hit a supply crunch and it's going to be pretty crazy. So if anybody wants to go ahead and start talking on this, I'd like to hear your points.
Marathon's been out ahead of this for a long time, right? I mean, if you kind of know the Marathon story, Marathon had some pretty rough years and then, they got out in front of this. I think it was like 10,000 miners that they bought, when things were down a little bit. And then they bought, I think, another 20,000 after that. And since, the amount of exahash that they're running, the number of sites is just, catapulted to the point where they're, I want to say, the largest mining company on the planet right now. And we were talking, I know we kind of talked about it earlier, but obviously Fred's got some ties into into Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump's making this an initiative, then taking it to all 50 states, and I think this is kind of what we touched on, not only taking it to 50 states, but developing the grids there because of those things. This is a huge, huge white pill for everybody out there. This should be, I don't want to get in, to hopium, but the fact that they're doing this or they're pushing this and Fred has made this a public statement, they're going to all 50 states. That's a huge win for Bitcoin, I think.
It's a massive win. And I'll just use the example of just what it does to the grid, the stabilization of it. You're able to increase your power, have it running just at 90, 100% the entire time. And then anytime you get a supply pull from the residential side, you just turn the miners off and you're able to just keep going. It's historically cold weather right now in Texas. And I know for a fact that when we had this same storm that came through like 3 years ago, we were without power for almost a week. And knock on wood, the temperatures are almost as cold as it was back at that storm and we haven't lost power once. And so you can say that they've just made improvements to the grid, but I really believe that it's the Bitcoin miners that are help stabilizing everything, allowing them just to, and it incentivizes the power companies to build out their infrastructure because they're able to make a return on it. You always have a buyer. So if you can do this across all 50 states, just imagine. And even for just the remote little towns, when you start going further north, the towns get further and further spaced out. And so just being able to deploy energy throughout the entire state and just hooking up Bitcoin miners so you're always generating income on it. It'll be very similar, I think, to what's going on in Africa. So I agree with you, Shen. I think this is extremely bullish.
I don't think it's too much to say that this is literally saving lives already. And I do believe that after seeing what happened in Texas a few years ago as to, you know, what's happening now, I would imagine if you went back and started looking at, you know, the percentage of a grid being stabilized and up and running, now versus then, I imagine what you're going to see is a drastic change from a few years ago till now because of Bitcoin. And so if that happens, you know, when we talk about, you know, energy becoming cheaper, and that's what will happen over time, is Bitcoin makes energy cheap, and it's going to send it at almost to a zero cost because miners are going to make money on mining that and consuming energy. That's an incredible feat to share that with a population. And in a symbiotic way, that not only does it save lives, but it takes human production and it's more rocket fuel. That's it. If you, the cheaper energy you can get for a people, and the more abundant it is, the better things that they can do. This is, you know, kind of that initiation into a Kardashev type one civilization, is mastering the energy of your planet.
We need to reach out to Pierre Richard from Riot. He does really good data points with what's going on, because he's based out of here in Texas. He has a lot of good points that he usually posts, and I've been trying to follow him. I haven't seen anything come through with this local storm, but maybe we can get him to come on to talk about the, again, how the miners are really making an impact on it. So I'll reach out to him, and I think that would be a fun discussion to have to come in on this. Eomar, Bob, or AC, do you guys have any comments on this? Okay, then. So we can go ahead. This one came through a couple weeks ago, and it's been on my talk sheet, and I just haven't had a chance to get into it. So I think this will be a good time to spend like the last 10, 15 minutes on it of the show. So Tether files a lawsuit against Swan Bitcoin over their joint venture dispute. So the stablecoin issuer has filed a lawsuit against the Bitcoin financial service company Swan Bitcoin, accusing the firm of significant breaches in their agreements. The case filed in the High Courts of England and Wales escalates an already ongoing legal battle between the two companies. So just for a little history on that, I think it was the summer, was it the summer? It was this year, or I guess, yeah, 2024. Swan let go a lot of their employees, and we just kind of saw it happen on social media. And then a couple weeks later, it came out that their mining venture that they tried to go into went under. And Swan immediately came out and tried to file a lawsuit against the other party that was involved. And they tried to get it done really quick, and a judge came in and said, no, like, you're not doing this correctly. We're going to go slower. And they accused Tether and the other people working on their bank sector, just stealing their information, essentially. And we had Joe Colasari come on the show and talk about it a little bit. And he alluded to the fact that, you know, this is only one side of the case. And I think he had a little bit more information than what he let on. But he said he would just wait for the other side to come out. And the other side's starting to come out, and it's starting to become a little ugly. So I'm not sure what this means for Swan. They're a Bitcoin-only company. I hate to see Bitcoin-only companies go under. So I'm not wishing them any bad luck, but if you do have any Bitcoin with Swan, you might want to make sure you take that into cold storage. Again, you should never leave any Bitcoin on exchanges. But I would just be a little bit more cautious. And so, Shane, I don't know if you can speak on this. Or if you want to, or if anybody else here wants to give a little insight as to what happened with Swan and Tether.
Go ahead, Jay.
Bob, I think what you're going to say is probably of some more substance, so I'd like to yield the floor to you. I will put in my anecdotal 2 cents afterwards.
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of look at this. I know there was an investment from Tether at one point, with Swan and this joint venture.
They were Swan, a majority investor.
Yeah. And Swan, right. And Swan, you know, lost some employees or they decided to leave. And, you know, it looked like maybe Tether had done some things to kind of swipe those people, for that partnership. But the, I think this is probably like a countersuit. And what I would say is, you know, maybe Swan, picked the wrong person to play with. I think Tether is massive and, have lots of funds at their disposal. Whereas Swan, you know, is continually looking for investment to keep their business, going. And, so I wouldn't want to be in Swan's position. That's kind of my take and what I'd say about it.
Yeah. So, you know, I obviously used to work there. And I was on the way out the door about a month prior to when they laid off, you know, 70% of the company. So I will preface this by saying that I think a lot of the people that work there, you know, were extremely excited to go into those, into that position, not knowing, you know, who was really running the company and some of the vice presidents, you know, in director type positions over there, which I will say, having seen on the inside of that, I'm not a fan. If you've got any business with those guys, I would highly recommend taking it to some place that's more reputable, like River. These guys are not only, I think, you know, full of shit on a lot of levels, in terms of, you know, what they're selling in terms of custody, but I think there are some major, major mismanagement. You know, when you talk about being a, you know, a Bitcoin only company and you're in bed with companies who are not Bitcoin only companies, especially Tether, that's got, you know, it's the most profitable business in the world. It's got literally like 50 employees and they do billions and billions and billions of dollars, worth of business. You're looking at, you know, possible disaster. And yes, there were, some employees that basically were Swan employees that helped set up mining, which was, you know, a secretive thing to begin with, inside the company. It was, you know, not to be released. It was completely undercover. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about how much exahash we have on a, you know, daily or monthly basis. And so I think, you know, the priority over there, they got a bit greedy. I think they used a lot of people for their following and then their status and really tried to just, you know, reap the indices, you know, basically their contacts so that they could make as much money from, you know, those followings as possible. And now it seems to be crumbling down around them. And I hate it for the good guys that are there, that are, you know, basically, you know, they got into a Bitcoin company that at the time seemed great. You had a lot of big personalities with massive followings, you know, either being sponsored by them or joining them in their ranks and working with them and for them on what we thought was a, you know, a really clean Bitcoin only mission. And then to have, you know, Corey and the staff over there do what they did, I think really kind of speaks to the integrity of the company and, you know, saying one thing publicly versus doing another thing behind closed doors.
Yeah. And I think if you look at it, they're, you know, really they're just a marketing company, and then you have to trust not just them, to move money, but you also have to trust their partners to custody your Bitcoin if you're holding it there. And so I think one of the big problems is they've been, switching custodians multiple times. One of them went bankrupt. I mean, there's all kinds of different things going on. And so if you peel it back, like at the end of the day, again, I wish them no ill will. And I think they've done some good for onboarding people, but you have to look at it and say, you know, do I really want to be sending money and then effectively holding Bitcoin with not just Swan, but then whoever they decide to partner with? And I think there's just extra risk there that people don't need to be taking. And so again, don't want to talk bad about Swan, Corey, their team, anybody there. It's just more of, I think we've seen that this model is problematic, right? Because they have to keep, always figuring out who the best custodian is so that their clients don't lose funds.
The best custodian is you, yourself. That's the end of the day. Self-custody of your Bitcoin. And I'm glad you guys brought this up because I don't follow Swan very closely, but like I considered it just like in like the mental space in my head, like one of the good ones because it was like Bitcoin only, at least on paper. So I'm glad you guys are, you know, kind of surfacing, some of the details of what goes on there. Cause again, completely unaware, of what's going on. I saw like the lawsuit come through, but it didn't really, bubble up to much of my attention. But again, because I self-custody and I don't really, as long as my DCA keeps going, I just move it off of there every now and then. And, you know, what goes on in the Bitcoin space is highly irrelevant to me.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, Yomar. Everybody should self-custody their Bitcoin. I think the big one that worries me with Swan is that there are a lot of people with IRAs there. And so they went there, because Swan offers these custody services. And then a lot of those people are just not, either in the know or haven't done the study or aren't well equipped to, custody their own Bitcoin. And obviously, you know, there's different thoughts on that. Courts haven't ruled on, you know, whether you can self-custody, but there's been cases with gold. And so, I think those are the people that worry me.
I think you can. I don't think I haven't seen too much contention in terms of like being able to self-custody Bitcoin. I know Unchained, I think they do a, multi-sig as far as I'm aware for their IRA. I've been meaning to switch over to that, but dragging my feet. I actually just got my extra cold card yesterday or the day before. Past couple of days, I got my extra cold card so I could, sign up with them. But I think they do a 2 out of 3. So you are, self-custodying in that sense. I don't think with Swan, if I recall correctly, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I think with them, like they custody it, right?
No, it's the same. They partner with, another entity. And see, that partner is the one that is providing the, the statements, but then also the reporting that's required by any custodian of your, retirement funds to the IRS at the end of each year that has to be reported. So whatever the amount is. And so the issue is like, if you self-custody, who's doing that reporting? Like, is your original custodian going to just take the number that you give them? And so I just think it's problematic, Yomar. It's not that you can't do it. It's just there's problems with reporting, number one. And number two, there was this case, and I can't remember, it was some lady, I think, in Illinois who had invested her IRA in physical gold. And then she took possession of that physical gold, and there was this court case, and she ended up having to say that, you know, she took a distribution and pay all the taxes and penalties on that. So I think some people have looked at that and said, well, that may be a good argument for the IRS to say the same thing regarding Bitcoin, because, you know, it looks like, hey, you've taken possession, you've taken a distribution. Even if it is segregated funds in your own, hardware wallet. So I think this is something where, you know, some people just aren't going to take that risk. And so if you're stuck with Swan, you know, there's not a lot of options out there. I've heard of some coming, this year, but, will people go through the pain of making the switch? It's hard to say. I would just say be careful and be watching for other alternatives.
Yeah, you're spot on, Bob. The company that uses BitGo, as their third party. And, you know, that's exactly, you know, how it's framed when, you know, speaking to clients over there is like, look, you know, there's this court case, that went through exactly what you said in terms of she had to pay all the taxes in terms of taking her gold into her own possession as a distribution. So you're kind of in a shit sandwich with this. You know, because there isn't any real legislation out saying that you can't hold your own Bitcoin, you know, in a 401k, or if you, you know, are going to put yourself at risk by owning 2 out of the 3 keys, or, you know, self-custodying, it would be, you know, basically catamount to taking the tax hit up front, probably 30% of what you're going to do, and then putting it into self-custody or doing, you know, what Swan does in terms of their model, where they're holding your Bitcoin, which is counterparty risk on top of counterparty risk, because you've got not only Swan, but you've also got BitGo is an institution. So kind of a shit sandwich. I will tell you, you know, before Bitcoin IRAs were a thing, this is just personal. It's not financial advice. It's kind of an anecdote. I don't miss the the 30% hit that I took from cleaning out my 401ks and IRAs, like that's come and gone. And my position is much better now. I believe, you know, if you've got those funds available and can access them and take the 30% hit, a, you know, total investment into Bitcoin at this point is probably going to see, more massive returns over time than anything that you're going to do in terms of languishing it in a, fiat, you know, custody, of, you know, BlackRock or Fidelity or the rest of those guys that are out there. So just my two cents.
Yeah, I will say there is another alternative as well. If you want to keep them classified as retirement funds and not take the tax hit, there are companies out there, I'm not going to endorse any, but that will do a self-directed IRA that will let you essentially set up an LLC. They'll do it on your behalf. And this LLC is solely for the purpose of your retirement funds. You can use it for things that, you know, are a little bit more difficult to buy in an IRA, like real estate, Bitcoin, so on and so forth. There's some costs with setting that up, and there's ongoing costs, but they're set up to do the appropriate thing for you. So they're going to establish the LLC. They're going to renew it for you every year, file all the appropriate paperwork, and then also ask you at the end of each year what the value is so that they can report that to the government on your behalf. So I think there are options, but they're just they're complicated, and they're not for the faint of heart. I'll tell you, it can take, you know, several weeks to get something like that set up. Probably not the best option for everybody, but if you're really keen on doing it and you don't want to pay the penalties, that would be another way to go. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Is there penalties to just move it from one IRA, from like Swan IRA to Unchained?
No. As long as, like, there's a certain timeline that you have to move it. But like, you can get a payout to your account, and you just have to be able to show that you paid back into a similar fund, like from an IRA to an IRA. Usually though, like if you close out an IRA, they'll give you they can address the check to whoever you're trying to roll it over to. This way, like, doesn't even touch your bank account, and it just makes the paperwork trail a little bit easier to follow. If you are in something, most of the big ones now, like, they'll have a wire option that they'll just wire it directly. So I've been looking at moving some stuff from, my traditional brokerage over to, I've been actually looking at Unchained, and I can do like a same day wire. I think it costs like $15 or something like that. And they'll send it over to Unchained, and then, if you do that, they told me it'd probably be like a week or so before the Bitcoin IRA is set up. And again, it's not endorsing Unchained. It's just the one that I've looked at. I looked at Swan initially, but I didn't think that they did I didn't think that you owned your keys with Swan. So I just shifted over to Unchained, because at least then it's my key. So if they went under, I would still have two out of the three. So.
And Unchained is one house, right?
I have no idea. I didn't ask that, yet.
One caveat I would say, yeah, cause Unchained does have your key, and that's all in house. It's a minority key. One thing I'll say though is just, you know, from someone who's moved IRA funds for people, I would suggest, and again, not financial advice, but, if you can avoid taking the funds and then, you know, having this deadline to move to the other IRA, if you can do it directly, even though it seems like it's going to take, you know, 5 days or something like that, I would encourage people to look at your risk management and try to get that done directly rather than taking the funds out and then showing that you sent it back to another custodian. So that's just another another plug.
Yeah, and to kind of clarify, Coleman, your question, you know, in terms of cost, you get one rollover a year, I believe, is what it is. You can't just keep doing rollover after rollover. And rollover is, basically, you know, moving it from one type to another, and then there's transfer. So, you know, getting into the specifics about, you know, going back and forth between rollovers and transfers, Transferring is an in-kind, so there's no penalty in terms of transferring. So it doesn't matter if you're in a Bitcoin IRA or in, you know, a common IRA, you know, outside of Bitcoin. That's fine as well. Just wanted to make that separation.
Well, thank you. No, I just brought up Pete. It looks like he just dropped. If you want to come back up here, Pete, you're more than welcome to. I will say this again. I'm not talking bad about Swan. The only alarming things that I just see is that it's not done in house, and Corey was just so adamant about calling everybody else who is doing these shenanigans. And I just see, as more details come out, I see a lot of similarities between the other companies that came and went, specifically FTX. Again, I'm not saying he's doing anything nefarious, and I'm not saying that they're going to go under immediately. It's just, I don't like that. I don't like calling out people for doing something and then finding out that you were doing something similar. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Just be careful. Do Bitcoin only in-house. Omar or Bob said it best. Go to, or maybe it was you, Shane. River. River is such an easy company. They have proof of reserves. The only hiccup I've heard of recently is that just creating a new account with them right now, just with the influx, is taking a little bit longer than normal, especially if you use a VPN. I think your account's getting flagged. But River and Strike are my go-to. So you should always hold your own Bitcoin, even if you're buying it on one of these exchanges. But those would be the two I would look into. And I'll have to do a little research on Unchained to see how they operate. But I do believe I heard that their IRA account was all in-house. So that's what I'd say. Go ahead, Bob.
Maybe another just insight with River, if anybody has troubles. Like when you first sign up, I'd recommend doing the KYC right away. A lot of people are, you know, have established their accounts and then they're buying Bitcoin and then they go to withdraw it to self-custody once they're ready, they have enough, or they've figured it out, and they're automatically getting flagged for, you know, basically like, no, you're not allowed to withdraw your funds, for 30 days. And that, I don't think that speaks anything to River's capability of sending out your Bitcoin. I think it speaks to, their concern with you and you being attacked, for fraud, or a scam. And so, but I do know that if you, I have clients that use River, and I do know that, a few of them have gotten this kind of automated thing saying you're not going to be able to withdraw your Bitcoin for 30 days. Thanks for KYCing your account. And they've sent, messages to support asking why. And, River is really good at getting back to you and saying, hey, we've done a manual review of your account and you are now indeed allowed to withdraw your funds and you don't have to wait 30 days. So, sometimes these automated systems, you know, they're set up for your protection. I wouldn't let it worry you. You might have to just go that extra step to, send out an email to support and say, hey, I got this. I'm wondering why I should be able to withdraw my Bitcoin. But the best thing to do, again, I'll just repeat it, would be to make sure you KYC up front. You're going to have to do it anyway if you're going to either sell or withdraw. So you might as well just do it up front.
Absolutely. It's unfortunate. It's just the age we live in. You have to KYC if you're going to be purchasing it from exchange. If you want non-KYC Bitcoin, go get yourself a BitX at Solo Satoshi and play the lottery. And go do work and demand your payment in Bitcoin. That's really the only two options you have right now for non-KYC Bitcoin. So that's just, until things change, that's the reality. And I just want to make sure everyone understands, everyone speaking today, I'm going to speak on behalf of all of you. This is not financial advice. Do your own due diligence. Invest at your own risk. You choose whoever you want to. This is not financial advice, but try and stick to Bitcoin-only companies. So we were at the top of the hour. Shane, Omar, Bob, do you guys have any other final comments or anything you wanted to hit on that we might have missed today?
I'll just say, you know, there's a lot of news coming out, some good, some bad. I'll just remind everybody, like, we can get into battles about all this stuff. There's a lot of opinions out there. I just encourage everybody to stay humble and stack sat.
That's the... the easiest advice to give, the hardest advice to follow, I think. I don't know what it is. It's still that lingering high time preference I think we all have. But you're right. Stay humble, stack sats. A lot of news is going to happen. And if we get a strategic Bitcoin reserve announcement today, tomorrow, Friday, I think after it's said and done, I really do think we wish we had a couple more years without it, just because of the ripple effects that are going to happen. We're not going to be prepared for the speed at which everything moves from then, with other nations copying that. So appreciate the calmness or the lull right now, because once it happens, it'll melt faces at the speed at which it moves. So go ahead, Yoma.
Yeah, on that note, don't wait to move your stuff off of exchanges. If we do get an SBR, you never know what other kind of legislation or rules will be made with it, you know, in terms of movability of stuff. And, you know, even if it's just everybody starts trying to move stuff at once, it's going to break systems. So if you are still mostly, relying on exchanges, just move your stuff off. You know, the cold card is one that, a lot of us here use, and like, it seems a little complicated, but honestly, once you start using it, it's not that bad. The material that they have on their website, is sufficient, to get set up. You know, don't try to take too many shortcuts, especially with like your cold storage. Don't use like the ledgers out there that are also shilling you shit coins. You know, really cold card is the one, is like, to me, like the gold standard of, or the Bitcoin standard of cold storage. I've heard some guys talking about BitKey, cause it's kind of like a, maybe like a bridge for those that are a little bit less comfortable. And I haven't looked into it that much, but I have heard some good things. So maybe look into that one if you really are uncomfortable with the gold card. But I would look at it as just that, like a bridge to get into, you know, something that's fully, cold storage.
Yeah. And just one quick comment on that. Just maybe to play this out, if you think, you know, you might want to wait on a cold card. If Trump's tariffs come through, cold card is sent out of Canada. So you could be paying double soon if that all comes out. So might be a good idea to order one before tariffs go into place. Because if you're in the U.S., you're going to be paying double soon if Trump gets what he wants.
Yeah. And honestly, just think about that for anything you're looking to buy in the next year or so. A lot of it's made in China, you know, so keep that in mind with those tariffs coming in.
There's
the income tax isn't gone yet, so it just means more cost for us.
There's a link at the top in the Nest. Go click if you want to buy anything from CoinKite, hardware wallet, SATS cards, you name it. Go up there, click that link. It brings you right to their website, and you'll be set. One of my biggest pet peeves is when we say it's too hard to self-custody and cold cards too complicated. It's really not. There's so many videos on it, and it is very easy. And if you use the right app, it's going to tell you did something wrong. And there's usually like underneath it, it's going to tell you, are you using a cold card? Go ahead and do X, Y, or Z. And it literally walks you through it. So again, there's no excuse for it. And I don't want to allow there to be excuses. Use a cold card. It's the best hardware wallet. There is no second best for that one.
I'm a grunt that, chose my college based on which ones didn't require a admission essay, and I figured it out. So you can too.
Me as well.
I'm going to echo that as well. Oh man. And I think I'd just say, you know, in closing here, is, listen, if you find this overwhelming, we literally formed Bitcoin Veterans to help you guys do this. We open source it to all of our guys. If you want help, go to bitcoinveterans.org and we'll get you into the chats. And there is a ton of guys in there that love talking about Bitcoin. Their wives are sick of hearing them talk about it. So they, you know, if you want to be the open ear and you need help, these guys are ready to help you.
100%. So that's a perfect way to end it. Thank you so much, Shane, for that. And thank you for everybody who tuned in. I really appreciate it. Join us tomorrow. Again, we do this every weekday, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time. The guys will be back here tomorrow. If you missed last night's video pod, the link is up on the Nest, or go check it out on the Bitcoin Veterans handle. Listen to it on Spotify, Fountain, or just go watch it on YouTube for the replay and see all the facial reactions everybody gives. But again, go out there, spend a little time, to quote Trump, play with your Bitcoin. Get familiar with how to use your cold card. Again, you don't want to have to get familiar with it in a crisis. Get used to being able to reboot it, restart it, get your seed phrase back again from zero, how to send and receive transactions. It's fun to play with it. So go ahead and get accustomed to that. But that is all I have for you. Go out there and have a great and fantastic day, but do not shitcoin. It's like putting coins under your pillow and getting old teeth back.